holding the last line of Chazal on a base. We're in the middle of talking about, the Mishnah had talked about a case where a woman declares a neder of nazir and sets aside animals for the purpose of the korbanos, and then her husband cancels her neder. So what happens to the animals? So we discuss the disposition of each one of them. Then in that connection, in the course of the discussion in the Gemara, we brought a Mishnah from Masechta Me'ilah that talks about a similar kind of thing where a person set aside money for his nazirus, intending to use it for his korbanos at the end of his nazirus, and then he died in the middle of his nazirus. So again, what happens with the various monies? So the Mishnah there had said, Hoila Moistumim, that if he had unspecified money, so he had the money, he just set aside a chunk of money without specifying that this part is going to be for this carbon, that part is going to be for that carbon. Then we said, Yipul and Nadava. They all go into the Nadava box. There were six boxes in the Mishnah that's labeled Nadava. One of them actually was for these kinds of, all of them ended up being used, all these six boxes ended up being used for they would all be used up. They'd all be used to buy korbanos, kites and mizbeach korbanos for the slack seasons when no other korbanos are being brought.
We saw that in Shkalim, right?
Yeah, we had an extensive discussion about it in Shkalim, and we've talked about it here or there, yeah. So the Gemara asks, how could you put it all in the Nadava? What's going to happen with the Nadava? It's going to be used to buy korbanos ola. Isn't there the money of a chatas mixed in it? Meaning, again, the three korbanos that a nazir is eventually going to be bringing at the end of his nazirus are an ola, a chatas, and a shlamin. How can you take money from a chatas and use it that eventually is going to be used to buy olas? Tosis points out, I mean, really the same question could apply to the shlamin as well. You can't take money that was supposed to be for a shlamin and use it for an ola either. Now, interesting, by the way, I mean, you know, you have, our Mishnah had mentioned the case of Mois Stumim, but the Gemara yesterday had mentioned that that's not such an issue because when you have Mois Stumim, you could argue, when this person set aside this money, potentially all of that money could be used to buy the Ola. You know, he set aside $100. It was supposed to be that one-third of it is used for each of the three animals. But potentially, he could take the whole $100, use it to buy one really top quality animal for an ola, and then go and get other money together for the shlomim and the chattas. So why does the Gemara not use that? Why does the Gemara not use that answer?
Just on one. Right. You need all the three.
You need all the three, but the point is, in other words, instead of, if you set aside $100 for the three korbanos, not necessarily is that going to be all you're spending. Potentially, you could spend all that on the ola, and then use other money for the shlomim and the chattas. So the Gemara could, why doesn't the Gemara use that answer? And also, Tosfos brings up the point, you know, our Mishnah had a case of where there's Mois Stumim, the case where a woman declared a neder of nazir and her husband canceled it. But the quote that our Gemara is using is Hayu Loi Mois Stumim, if he had Mois Stumim, referring to that Mishnah in Me'ilah that we quoted in the Gemara yesterday, the case of a person who declared himself a nazir, set aside money for his korbanos, and then died. Why are we quoting that rather than the one from our Mishnah? The Tosfos answers both things by saying basically that. Specifically in the case of that Mishnah in Me'ilah, when it uses the expression Hamachrish Mois L'Nazirusai, where it says that he sets aside the money for his Nazirus, that implies that he means to use it for all the korbanos of his Nazirus, not just for one of them. So yeah, in our Mishnah, you could say that she set aside money and in the end, potentially all that money could be used for one korban. When the Mishnah in Me'ilah uses the expression Hamachrish Mois L'Nazirusai, then you can't use that answer.
No.
You have to have something else. Back to the question then, some of that money was supposed to be used to buy a chattas. The din is that a chattas, we learned yesterday, and the Gemara is going to discuss again today, chattas, there's five cases that are halacha l'moshe m'sinai of a chattas amesa, a chattas where since you can't bring it for one reason or another, there's five potential cases, then if it's an animal, it has to be left to die, and if it's money, it has to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech. So how are you taking this money and using it for oilas? And for that matter, how are you taking the money from a shlomim and using it for oilas?
Instead of,
if it's money from a chattas, if some of it is money from a chattas, then you should be taking some of it and throwing it into the Yam HaMelech.
How about giving it to Mishmish?
Halacha Moshe Mishinai is that these five cases of chatoris hamesis is the animal can't be used for anything else, and you can't just outright kill it. You have to lock it up in a room, basically. We'll talk about that in the Gemara soon. And if it's money, then it's also Bahamah.
But Mishmish is not considered like the war.
No. No, it doesn't work. The same principle is you can't say we're going to take this animal and bring it to the carbon. After all, that doesn't work. The halacha mishmisinai is it's possible it or money that was set aside for this purpose is possible. There's five such cases, by the way. The shittim ukbetes and various other rishonim and acharonim bring a way to remember it with the word v'timna, as in the pasuk in Vayishlach v'timna ha'isa pilegesh. V'timna stands for vlad chatos. The vav stands for vlad chatas, the baby of a chatas, an individual chatas is a female animal, so potentially there could be a baby from it. Tmuras chatas, if you take, you had an animal that was designated for a chatas, and you said, I'm exchanging it for this other animal, which you're not allowed to do, and if you do, you get malchus, but the second animal gets a certain degree of skirsha, but you can't bring it to the chatas, because you already brought the first one to the chatas.
And it can be two of those.
You can't bring two chataras for the same aveda. The third one, the mem is, Chatas shemesu ba'aleha, if the owner of the chatas died. The nun is niskapru ba'aleha, if the owner ended up using another animal for his chatas. Typical case is at the end that the first animal that he designated as a chatas ran away, got lost, whatever. He used a different one, and then this one turned up. And ayin is avra shnasa, if it's more than a year old. An individual's chatas has to be a female sheep or goat less than a year old. The chatas is a kibsa bat shnasa. So if it's older than that, then you have the same problem.
Where did you say that?
The main place where it talks about these things is in the Sefer Tzmura. In the Sefer Tzmura, the Gemara, by the way, has a very long, interesting discussion about the genesis and the history of this halacha Moshe Mitzinai. The Gemara discusses over there that certain details of this halacha are among the halachas that were forgotten during the Avelus after Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, people were mourning for 30 days, it says at the end of Parshas Vayetzei Bracha. Thousands of halachas were forgotten until Othniel ben Knaz was able to refigure them out using logic, using Torah logic.
Yeshua wasn't there to...
Yeshua was there, but actually part of the thing is, the Gemara says, that what happened was that before Moshe passed away, he says, I don't want to get too far off topic, but fine. Moshe says to Yeshua, if you have any outstanding questions, now is the time to ask them, soon you're going to be gone. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yeshua says, Moshe, I've been learning from you straight day after day for 40 years.
And also, it only happened after Moshe passed away.
So after Moshe, he didn't take the hint, in other words, and...
Yeah, but when did this forget? After the veil started. The veil was starting when Moshe was alive.
Nobody told
him. No. Moshe told Yeshua, if you have anything you're still uncertain about, ask. And Yeshua didn't take the opportunity. He said, basically, I don't need to. I've been learning from you for 40 years nonstop.
He couldn't know that his girls would forget that.
No, but the point is, if he had learned it one more time, he might have not forgotten. Well, whatever. The point is, the Gemara ends up saying that
Moshe Rabbeinu tells him that there's a reason.
Yes. Okay, whatever. The Gemara ends up saying that the thousands of halachas of Chalim B'Chamurin and Zeres Shabbos and all kinds of things were forgotten until Othniel ben Knaz was able to refigure them all out. Using his logical analysis, the Medama Milsa Lamilsa, comparing one din to another, he was able to reconstruct them. Othniel ben Knaz was the first of the Shoftim. Yeshua was the leader for only 28 years. But Othniel ben Knaz was actually a younger brother, he was a stepbrother, half brother, of Kalev. He's called Kalev. Kalev is called Kalev in Yefuneh HaKnizi because his father was Yefuneh, and his stepfather was Knaz. His mother remarried Knaz. Othniel is the son of the same Knaz. So they have the same mother, different fathers. Anyway, back to the question. So if there's Mechatos mixed in with this money, then how do you say that it all goes to Erlis? As a matter of fact, yes, it's a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, that in the case of a nazir, that in this unique case, since the money is stumim, it's unspecified what's meant to go to what, that it all goes into the nedava boxes. Yes, usually you wouldn't do that with Dmei Chatas, this is an exception. It's a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. Rish Lakish Omar, Rish Lakish says, it's not a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, there's a pasuk. L'chol nidreim, l'chol nidvoisim. The pasuk mentions, for all their nedarim and all their nedavis. So usually we say the distinction is a neder is, we went back in Rosh Hashanah, that a neder is when you say, Hare Olai Ola, or Shlomim, or what have you, I obligate myself to bring such and such a korban, then later on you designate an animal to fulfill it. If that animal gets lost or becomes a Baal Mum or what have you, you're obligated to bring another one. You haven't fulfilled the obligation. As opposed to a nedava is when you say, Hare Zu Ola, you say to begin with, this animal should be a korban. Then if it gets lost, it becomes a Baal Mum or what have you, nothing happens, you don't have to replace it.
Oh,
that's the usual.
Because only this one.
Because only this one, right. So that's the usual distinction between neder and nedava. But Rish Lakish is understanding the pasuk differently. HaTorah Amra Motza Neder Yehel Nedava. The Torah is implying that what's left over from a neder, and nezirus is a type of neder, should go to nedava, should go to the nedava boxes, which wind up being used for oilers, for kaya and mizbeach. Yeah, so it, well, not so again, not if it was, well, that's what the Gemara is going to ask. I mean, according to the Shlokish, it shouldn't make a difference whether the money was specified for one purpose or another. That's what the Gemara is going to ask now. But so far, this is what we have. But the Gemara is still in here. And last, explain a little bit. Yechanan b'ma halacha ibn nazir. Fine. According to Rabbi Yechanan, who says halacha moshe b'sinai in the case of a nazir, am tu lahachi. Therefore, we can understand the difference stumin and the production loy. That this only works if the money is stumin. It doesn't work if the money is mefurish. If this nazir before he died had said, or for that matter, the woman from our Mishnah, had said, before her husband canceled her neder, had said, this specific money is for the chatas, this specific money is for the oil, etc., then it wouldn't work. You wouldn't say you put it all in the double box. Then the chatas money has to be thrown into the Yamamelech.
So where did you take it from?
That's the thing. According to the Rabbi Yechanan, you can say very simply, the halacha, the Moshe Sinai, is only applies to Mois Stumin. It was never meant to apply to Mois Mufarashim. El Rishlakish, Lachol Nedreim, Lachol Nedvarichim, but according to Rishlakish, who's quoting the Pasuk about Neder and Nedava, my area is Stumman after the Mephardashim. Then according to him, the Pasuk's not making any distinction between Stumman and Mephardashim. The Pasuk's saying anything left over from a Neder, meaning the Zerus, goes to Nedava. What's the difference whether you specify that this money is for the Chata or you didn't?
Makes sense,
though.
But yeah, it's true.
Yeah? Amar Rava, so Rava says, Mephardashim le Matas Amrit. The reason is you can't, even Rishlakish couldn't possibly say that money that's mefurashim, that money that was specifically said that it's supposed to be for chatas or shlamim, should wind up in the nedava box. Because kvaposka tana dvei Rabbi Shmuel, because tana dvei Rabbi Shmuel already clearly states in a braisa where we learn from a pasuk this concept that a chatas became posel in this way, that something that was designated as a chatas, an animal or money, can't and now it can't be used for that, doesn't end up getting No, forget. Rish Lakish can't argue with Tanad. Rish Lakish is not going to argue with Tanad Vedavish Mal. Therefore, if Rish Lakish has a pasuk that implies that Lachol Nedreim or Lachol Nedvarichim, that anything from a neder goes to Nedava, necessarily he will have to understand that that pasuk is only talking about Mois Stumin, only about unspecified money. Because in the case of specified money, we have Tanad Vedavish Mal already tells us that that's not.
This is the Stumin. Unspecified money, but what he said, I have $100. Some of it will go to an oil, some of it will go to.
If he said that, then that's Mephardashim.
But
if
he just said he's going to go to the Korban, why don't you go back to the first idea of saying it's all complete?
No, because that's the thing. That's what Tosafot said. When he said, Hamakrish Moris Munizirusai, he means that, yes, out of this money is going to come 3 Korbanos. But he didn't specifically say this particular bundle.
Okay, that's my question.
No. If he had specifically said this particular bundle,
some of this money,
right. What does Tanit Vayda Bishmal say? The pasuk says like this: Rak Kadoshecha Asher Yulchon Nedrecha. The pasuk says only your kodshim, that you have and your nedarim. So the pasuk continues: you should bring them to the Beis Hamikdash. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is that even if you're living in Chutz La'aretz and you designated an animal for a korban, you still have to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. Don't think that you can bring it someplace else where you live. But Tanit Vayda Bishmal says the valde kodshim v'tmoros and akas medaber. The pasuk is talking about the babies of animals that were brought as korbanos, so that a shlomim can be a male or a female animal, so it can have a baby. A chatas is used for most people, except for a king and a kohen gadol, a female animal, so again, it can have a baby.
Why is that for female?
That's what the Torah says. What the
how does the Torah know?
What?
How does the Torah know?
I mean, how does the Torah know? What? No, the regular person's chatas.
Just look.
The reason why male versus female, I don't know. You could argue because the average person is a macabre, whereas the king is a mashpia to the people, so therefore male versus female. I don't know. It's probably something we'd have to look into Shamshon Athol Hirsch's commentary. He's big on this kind of thing, explaining the reasons behind all the details of the rules of Kobanus. Anyway, so the Vlodic culture, it's Murdosim, Akasim Adabra. The Pasuk is talking about the children, the babies of animals for Kachim, and the exchanges, the Tumur, when you said, I'm exchanging this animal for that one. So what is Matakanasim? So what do you have to do with them then? The Pasuk says, Tiso Uvasa. You have to carry them and bring them, Elamokam, Ashi Yivcha Hashem, to the place that Hashem chooses, meaning to the Beis Mikdash. Now, Yocho Yalom Vesa Pchira, you would think then that what does that mean? You bring them up to your Yerushalayim, to the Beis Mikdash, yes, but you don't actually bring them as a carbon. And then you deprive them of food and water in order that they die. In other words, you would think that maybe, for example, you had a shlomim, let's say, and the shlomim animal, before you had a chance to bring it as a carbon, had a baby. Based on this, if all you had was the fact that the pasuk is saying tiso vasa, you would think, fine, you can't just leave it. Let's assume it can't be brought as a carbon. Let's assume that this baby, you never would makdish it separately. Let's assume you can't bring it as a carbon. Let's also assume, though, since the pasuk is saying tiso vasa, then the pasuk is being particular and telling you, don't think that you can just leave it to die where you live in your own house. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim and then do that over there. Now, what would be the logic? So Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the Baalei Tosfos, explains the logic that way people would know not to be careless with it. If you're allowed to just dispose of it at home, to lock it up at home, then people are going to get careless with it, and they may end up working with it or whatever while it's still alive. Like this, maybe the Torah is telling you, bring it to the Beis Mikdash, so you know for sure it has a certain condition of a carbon. You're going to be sure not to work with it or whatever, but then don't actually bring it as a carbon.
Now, carbon shlomim, let's see, this is an extra carbon because it was born afterwards, right?
Yes.
So chatas, you could only bring on an aveir, one aveir,
right.
I understand. But a shlomim, it could be in the dove, it could be...
That's the point, that's the point the Brahe is explaining.
Because so far,
when the Pasuk says, Rach Kadoshecha, Ashiyu L'chon Adaracha, the Pasuk doesn't seem to be distinguishing between different types of Korbanos. It seems that this applies across the board. So if we're going to say that the Pasuk is telling us Tiso Uvasa, so far you would think any case where the original Korban was brought, then you can't do anything with the Vlad or the Tumura. Or not even where the original one is still supposed to be brought. You would think that the Vlad or the Tumura, nothing can be done with it. Tamad Lema Bal, Siso Lesecha Abbas of Adam. Therefore, the next Pasuk continues, you should bring your Oilus, the meat and the blood, Amam Zbeach. Which is to say, exactly what you would do with the original oila is exactly what you do with the tamura of it. Or no, you can't say the vlad, an oila is a male animal, can't have a vlad. The same thing that you do with the original shlomim, do with the vlad, or the tamura for that matter. We're mentioning only tamura in the case of oila, because you can't have a vlad by an oila, whereas the shlomim you could have either one. The point is, So far what we have...
You could misconstrue and think that you can...
So that's the thing. So far what the Braise is telling us like this. When you have an animal that you designated as a shlomim, and it had a baby, you would think the mother, okay, you're supposed to bring as a carbon, you designated it as that, you would think the baby is not able to be brought as a carbon. Nope, the Pasuk is telling, by telling you, the Pasuk is telling us that these rak habashecha, these kachim, which were not really 100% because it was born from an animal, because of the tamura or what have you, nevertheless, you still go and bring it as a carbon, exactly as you did the original carbon. Then the Braise continues, Yocho af vlad chatas or tmuras asham kain. Well, then you would think the same thing applies to the baby of a chatas or the exchange of an asham. And again, the reason for the difference in wording is because a chatas is a female and asham is always a male animal. There's six kinds of ashamas, but all of them are male animals. So you would think the same thing would apply to the case of a chatas or an asham. Tamud lema rak. That's why the pasuk begins rak kadoshecha. Rak is always a meat. So putting it all together, then what we have is Rach teaches us the beard. Kodoshecha Shiyulachon Derecha is the case of Vlad or Tumura or these various other Mesa Balea, etc., the various other cases that we described. So we're saying that if Tiso Vasa, you have to bring them to the Bishop, then what happens from there depends on the type of carbon. If it was a Shlomim or an Ola, then you go ahead and bring it. If it's a Chatas or an Asham, so Chatas, we have a Lachal Mesh, we see now the Tumus. In the case of an asham, we'll learn on Amud Beis, actually what happens is that it's it's left to pasture until it develops a mum. And then after the mum, you sell it and you use the money to buy an oila. We'll talk about that on Amud
Beis.
An oila? No, because you don't have another asham to bring. You bring an asham for whatever it is, asham zelus, asham mehilus, etc. You brought your original asham, that's it. You don't have another asham to bring.
So asham, you don't bring something to asham. No.
Right. So, yeah.
Okay, so only for sins.
Give it Rabbi Shmuel. So this is all what Rabbi Shmuel says, how we learn out this concept of which vlodes and tmuras can and can't be brought as korbanos. Rabbi Akiva, in its tzarech, Rabbi Akiva says you don't need that whole limud. Harehu oima, asham hu. because the pasuk in a different place, so when it talks about the genium of an Asham in Parshas Tzav, it uses the word Asham Hu, which means Bahava Yasa Yehei. It means that he's not arguing with the whole limud of Rabbi Shmuel. Basically, I agree with it, but he's saying it's specifically when you're saying at the end that you need Rak to exclude the Vlad Chatas and the Tzmuras Asham. In the case of an Asham, you don't need that. Asham Hu means Bahava Yasa Yehei. It has to be only the original Asham can be brought as an Asham. The exchange or what have you, but is not brought as an Asham. And again, we'll learn on Amad Beis what happened today.
The word who?
Because the word who. In general, in a lot of places, in a lot of places, when in connection with Korbanos, it uses the word who, and the Gemara darshens them in various places, and most notably in the Sefer Zvachim, that it teaches us certain dinim about the Korban. In the case of a chatas, for chatas who, for example, teaches us that a chatas has to be done dafka l'shmoy, if you bring a chatas, having in mind that it's some other Korban is completely possible. In the case of an Asham, we learn this concept that only the original Asham can be brought. Now, other one, goes through them. When we get to Zvachim in a couple of years from now, Be'ez Hashem, we'll have a lot of fun with this. Okay, Katani. So getting back to what we said in the Braisa, we said Yocho Yalom Beis Abchira. You would think in the case of the Vlad or the Tzmura of a Shlomim or an Ola that you bring them up to Beis Abchira, v'yimna mehem mayim mazim b'shloshim mazu, and deprive them of food and water so they die. Time of lemon valsi said lezecha. So now the question is, why would we think that? Amai? Why should we think? Why should we even think that? Vlad chatsu digmirin b'misa. It's only a Vlad Chatas that we have a Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai, Vlad Chatas, Smuras Chatas, etc., that whole group over there that we have this Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai about that they left the Mishra. Why is it when Tanit Vreda B'Shemel starts off, you would think the same thing applies to an Ola and a Shlomim? Why would you think that? And the answer is Ilav Kro, because if a word for the Pasuk Hava Amin of Vlad Chatas B'chol Mokim, then we would have thought like this. When it comes to, maybe we would have thought that, yes, the Vladis of all Korbanos are left to die, we would think. Elamai, what's the difference? What's the difference? Lachol Moshe Mishinai tells us about the Chatos versus any other. Vlad Chatos could be done anywhere. You don't have to first bring it to the Beis Hamikdash and then lach it up. Or Vladik Kachim, the Beis Abchira. Whereas the Vladis of other Kachim, you have to bring them to the Beis Abchira first. Tiso, well, you have to lift them up and bring them to the Beis Hamikdash. Kamash Mulan Gelo. That's why the Braita has to tell us that not. And not only you don't have to bring them to the Beis Mikdash to then lock them up, you don't lock them up b'chol. You bring them to the Beis Mikdash and you actually offer them. Well, see, sorry,
the Tachon. Well, so the question is, bring them you still have to have, because you let you get from
there. But yes, you bring them to the carbon, yeah.
If it wasn't for the Brisa, you 10%.
You would have thought that, yes, if it weren't for what the Brisa spelled out, you would think that maybe you have to bring them to the Beis Mikdash and then go put them in a room. Yeah. Okay. Going back to the Braisa, Katani, we said in the Braisa, Yochalach Vlad Chatas of Tumuras Asham Kain, Talmud Lomer Rak. We said that you would think the same rule that applies to the Vlad Chatas and the Tumuras Asham, that those also are brought as actual Korbanos, and therefore the Pasuk says Rak to teach us that not. So again, the question is, Lomali Kro, what do you need a Pasuk to teach us that? Hilchsag Mila, we have our Lachal Meshim Yitzin as Vlad Chatas for Mesa Ozo. That the Vlad Chatas and the other four cases that we mentioned all go to Mesa. So what is in fact, the Gemara's question is, what do we need it since we have Halacha Moshe Mishinai? But actually, it's kind of even more than that. Halacha Moshe Mishinai, by definition, is something that there's no source in a pasuk for it. If there is a source in a pasuk for it, then it's not Halacha Moshe Mishinai. We had way back, for example, in Sukkah, the question about Nisuch HaMayim, for example. Is Nisuch HaMayim Halacha Moshe Mishinai, where there's no source for it in Teresh B'Chav? Or is it the famous extra Mem, Yud, and Mem, and the Pesukim of the Korbanos of Sukkot, and therefore there's a source for it in Teresh B'Chav, and it's not a true Halacha Moshe Mishinai. I mean, it's still given to Moshe on Sinai, but the term Halacha Moshe Mishinai is reserved for Halachos, that there's nothing about them in the Pesukim, not even a hint to them in the Pesukim, yeah. Incidentally, by the way, Mepharshim point out based on this that we see from what the Gemara is saying over here that something that's a Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai has the full force of a Din D'Oraisa. We don't say since it's only learned out, since it's not written in the Pasuk, then it has a lesser status. It's more like something D'Rabbana. No, because that's the Gemara is saying over here that you don't need a Pasuk when you have a Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai, implying that they're on the same level.
Stronger.
Well, they're on an equal level. The pasuk is given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The halacha is also given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. So he wasn't talking to me. Okay, you're right. You don't need the pasuk really for the vlat chatos because we taka have alach hamash misinah that tells us that. But krom oshem udalta, the rak is really only trying to exclude the case of the tmura of the oshem, which that we would know from alach hamash misinah. You wouldn't know because alach hamash misinah is that a vlat chatos is left to die.
Only
vlat chatos, not a vlat oshem.
It
includes all the various cases, yeah. I mean, actually, the Gemara mentions in Tzmura over there the possibility that maybe not all the five are Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, given this whole business about the Halachas that were forgotten in the Yemei Hevel Shal Moshe. It might be that there was only one of them or only four of them or whatever that were, and then the Rabbanan weren't sure which one is which, and therefore, yeah. Why? In the case of an Oshem, we also have a known halacha l'Moshe Mitzinah. There's a general rule, kol she'ilah b'chatas meisa b'Oshem roya. Any case, where any of the five cases involving chatas, where if the animal or the mother or whatever was a chatas, then it's meisa. If this parallel case has happened with an Oshem, so for example, you lost your animal for an Oshem, you brought another one, and then the original one turned up, or you did a tzura, or whatever, all the various other cases, then the halacha is roya, that you leave it to go pasture until it develops a moon and sell it. Ella, no. Rather like this. Let's say like this. If we only had the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, have amin hilchasa, we would think, fine, there is such a halacha. The But you would think, maybe, if it were just based on the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, you would say, yes, fine. Going back even to the chatos. Yes, this vlad chatos shouldn't be brought as a carbon. What if you did b'dieved? Let's say, for example, afterwards, the same person did another aveda that he's chayv chatos for, and took this animal and brought it as a chatos, or the same thing with the asham. You would think that b'dieved, or not, you would think he's not chayev, and he wasn't over any mitzvah by doing that. Kamash malon kura, that's why the pasuk tells us, the imach is like koyim alei be'esei. Therefore, what the pasuk is telling us, this rak kadashecha, sheyil l'cho in the racha, that pasuk is an essay that's telling you that your kodshim you should be bringing to the Beis Mikdash. So we deduce from that essay, we deduce a loisess, as it's called, a lava bomb, we call essay, which is considered to have the force of an essay, that, but don't bring the ones that are possible in the scenarios that we mentioned, the vlat chatos or the tmoros oshim or what have you.
So that means that if we did...
If we did, he's over on an essay.
Over an essay, but he would still have to bring another one, because that wouldn't count at all.
Right.
It would be like bringing nothing.
Right. Which actually, by the way, we'll talk about Rabbi Kiva in a second now in the Gemara, but actually Tosfos discusses the issue, by the way, here and in a few other places in Shas. Here the Gemara seems to be saying that it's halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai that any case where any of the four or five or whatever it is cases that are shayach to an asham, that it would have to be roya, it has to be left out to pasture. You can't bring it as an asham, of course, but you can't bring it as any other carbon either. There's other places in Shas that seem to say that not like that, but seem to say that Midaraisa, if you were to bring it as an Ola, it would be a kosher Ola.
But it's going to a higher level.
Because it can't be brought as an Oshem, because you already took care of your Oshem responsibility, you can't bring it as a hat, but Midaraisa, you could bring it as an Ola. Only Midrabanan is it that you have to leave it to pasture and then use the money, etc.
For sure.
Yeah, we're talking about the Oshem. So Tosfos discusses over here that Rabbi Natan wants to say that, in fact, those Gemaras is a liberty hilchasa. The halacha is, in fact, like those statements of the Gemara in those various other places. That, yes, and not like our Gemara over here. So it's not a halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that you're not allowed to bring it as an oila. It's rather only a gzeira d'rabbanan. That you shouldn't bring it as an oila, that you should leave it to pasture and then use the money, etc.
What does Rabbi Natan do with the Gemara here?
So Tosfos explains that actually Rabbeinu Tam has a bit of a different gifse in the Gemara over here. Okay, then we said in the Braise, Rabbi Kiva Emen Itzarach Harei Oma Oshem Yehu B'Hava Yasiyei, that Rabbi Kiva says you don't need the Rak to teach us that you don't bring a Tmura of an Oshem as an Oshem or as any other carbon, because the Pasuk says Oshem Hu. So again, the question is, Lama Likra, what do you need the pasuk for? Gemara Gemirim Law. Again, we have the din that we've learned according to our Gemara over here, Allah Hashem Hashem Sinai, according to Rabbi Natan's understanding of Xeira de Rabbanan, Kol Shem Chatas Mesa Baal Shem Raya. Now, why doesn't the Gemara answer like it did with Rabbi Shmuel? That it means that if he were to do it, he's over on an asset. The reason is because Rabbi Shmuel's pasuk, Rak Kadashecha, Sheyulcha, Nerecha, Tisa Uvasa, Vasisa Lasecha, Basa Adam, is phrased in the form of an essay. It's phrased in the form of, this is what you should be doing. You should be taking your karbonas and bringing them to the Beis Hamikdash, implying, but not the ones that are possible. Rabbi Akiva's pasuk, Oshamhu, is not a, Rashi explains this, Rabbi Akiva's pasuk, Oshamhu, is not a mitzvah essay, it's a statement. It is an Osham. There's no reason for us to think that according to Rabbi Akiva's understanding that you're learning this concept from Oshamu, there's no reason to think that according to him that if you were to do that, you'd be over on an asset. So now we're back to the question, what is the pasuk adding to the halacha l'moshe m'sinai?
It has one purpose.
Yeah. The answer is hochinami, true, indeed, you tacha don't need it for that purpose. The chiyas of kral the derav. Rather, according to Rabbi Akiva, we use his pasuk, Oshamu, for teaching us what Rav said. If you have an osham that was pulled away to be sent off to pasture, meaning so you have this animal that was supposed to be an osham, and then one of these things happened, you did a tzmura, or it got lost, et cetera, all the various cases, and then you schlepped it away, you specifically said, fine, I'm not bringing it as an osham anymore, because it's not available for that, I'm sending it off to go pasture. That's called nitek l'ri'ah. The shachter, the shem ola, and then you went and shechted it as an ola, kosher.
Forgot
or whatever. Probably even made it. I don't know. It's a kosher to ola.
That's according to
That's according to Rav. So where do we learn that concept from? Time of the nitak. So what do we see from that? When is it kosher to bring it as an ola? Only if it was pulled away, only if it was redesignated that it's not going to be an osham anymore, it's going to be going off the pasture. Halloy nitak loy. But if it wasn't, then it would be possible. Why? Because the pasuk says who b'hava yasa yehei, implying as long as it still has the status of an osham, then it's possible for anything else. So it has to be nitek. It has to be that it was redesignated for the other.
But sent to the pastor altogether moved so that you can.
Yeah, eventually you're going to use the money to buy an oil.
How do you
that's the point.
Eventually you bought them. Okay.
What you did is you sent it off to pasture, okay. And then you changed your mind and brought the very animal itself as an oil.
And it still works.
What? That's what we're saying.
So how do you make your nitek? You take it out.
No, you redesignate it. You say, I'm not bringing this as an osham anymore because I already brought another animal as an osham because this is a tamura or what have you. Therefore, I'm taking it away from you and sending it off to pasture. And then later on, you took it and brought it as an oila. We're saying that it's kosher.
Early retirement.
You're not
even
this lab or whatever it is.
According to Rabbi Akiva, there is no S over here. There's the word osham, which is a descriptive statement.
You don't change.
No, the point is also, once you redesignated it, once it no longer has the name of an osham, then the osham who doesn't apply anymore.
Oh,
so yes, it's supposed to be, and especially if once you're in a time, it's supposed to be midrabanan, that you should still wait till it develops more and not use it as a korban at all, but rather use the money, the value of it to buy an oil. But if you went and used it as an oil, because it's not osham who anymore, because it's not an osham at this point anymore, therefore it's kosher.
You know, it's over all. Whether it's a halacha moshe m'sinai or whether it's a rabbanan, the shana was supposed to get a mum. But you instead took it and brought it a korban. You're not in any trouble at all. You're all right to it.
That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. And again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you wouldn't even need the nitchuk in the first place. According to Minat Torah, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you could look up chiluk when it was an oila. But rabbanan made a takana that not because you could too easily confuse the case la'acha kapara and lifne kapara before you brought the actual osham.
What's the
halacha
with these oshamas?
According to Rabbeinu Tam?
Yes.
So the halacha, midaraisa, you have an osham that's possible for whatever reason.
Right.
You could technically do
it,
but the rabbanan made a takana that not, that you should leave it, that you should be nitek l'ri'ah, etc. But yeah. According to Rabbeinu Tam, yes, there's only midrabanan. To avoid confusion, right, between the case where you already brought the ola versus where you didn't, not the ola, the osham versus where you didn't bring it yet.
Thank you. since our system always can only come up by the time it gets sold on it.
No, because that would be bringing it down to a lower level of kedusha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But unfortunately.